Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Federation. With me today is author extraordinaire, Allison Gingras. Allison, welcome to Lifelines Radio.
Thank you, Maria. I'm very honored to spend this time with you.
Allison, what prompted you to even start writing?
I was in a time of learning more about the faith, and I was just struggling to kind of make all sense of it. So I'm a just writer by nature. I have a degree in English. I've just always loved to read, and it really was an outlet for me to start journaling and just writing these things down. And the more that I started to discover these insights and these connections with God, I thought, where has this been all my life? Why did I never read this before? Why did no one ever share this with me before? And I started praying about it. And the Lord's like, you know, there's a reason I gave you those gifts and talents, Allison. Why don't you do what it was that you wish somebody had done for you? So I just started blogging about these things that I was discovering about my faith and about God and the scriptures. And it's kind of the genesis of how kind of snowballed into much bigger things than just a blog, but that's how I got started.
It's amazing. You are such a gifted author. Now, how do you come up with the subjects for your books?
I go to adoration. I sit with a pen and a blank piece of paper, and I say, boss, what would you like me to talk about? I always tease that I'm just Jesus's the Holy Spirit's stenographer, that I just sit and pray, and really he does all the heavy lifting. I think I really do feel very strongly, Maria, that everybody has a story to tell, and only you can tell that story. Only you have that specific encounter with Christ that you can tell. And for some of us, it's just how we tell it in our everyday ordinary lives, just the witness of who we are and how we live. And then there are others who God has given the gifts and the talents to write, to speak, and we're called to do that in a more public forum. But I think that each one of us has a story, and God has put that specifically in our hearts to help him be known through us. And what a gift that is, don't you think?
Oh, it is. It's a tremendous gift. And you brought a gift to the world with your book, Encountering Signs of Faith. And faith has a double meaning. And
It sure
why don't you
does.
explain to us, how did that book come about?
So speaking of spending time listening to God, we had two biological sons and two really tough pregnancies, and a tough pregnancy, two losses, an ectopic and a miscarriage in between the two boys. And I just remember sitting in prayer saying, Lord, I'd love to extend and expand my family, but giving birth really is kind of a dangerous thing for me. And maybe this is all you want. You want me just to have these two boys, but I'm just really open, Laura, to expanding my family, being open to life and however you see. And if you think I should have another pregnancy, Lord, I trust you in that too. And just really bringing it to prayer. And he made it very clear in just really amazing ways, really God ways, that we were called to adopt, which is something that I had considered as a younger person, like eighth grade. I remember running home to my mother and saying, one day I want to adopt. She's like, that's a great idea. But I hadn't thought about it in many years since that day. I actually said that day to my mom that I also wanted to have a child that was deaf. Little did I know that that was the Lord already had planted that desire on my heart. And as the scripture says, the Lord gives delights in giving you the desire of your heart. So fast forward, I'm praying, and the Lord puts on my heart to adopt, and then very specifically to adopt a child that is deaf. So I started to pray and research, and through so many God-cidental meetings with people and circumstances, we ended up being matched with a little girl in China who is profoundly deaf. And because it took all the faith I had in the world to go through this process, to trust God in it, to go to China, because I've really struggled with anxiety, and I have my whole life. To do all of this had to be through the power of God. And we brought home this little girl. We named her Faith because, as I was about to say, it took all the faith in the world I had to do this for the Lord and for this little girl. and for me, who am I kidding? And that when I started to journal the process and all that was happening, I just discovered that the God has something for each of us to do, not just a story to tell, but a plan for our life and something for us to do for Him. And I wanted other people to be able to discover that plan in their life. And I was sharing it with my friend who's an acquisitions editor at that time with Ave Maria Press. And she said, "You know what? Your story is fantastic, but also built in there is the sacramentals and how you use the faith, the devotions of our church to see what God was asking you to do." So we kind of brought this encountering signs of faith, that double meaning of encountering my lovely adoption of my beautiful little girl, Faith, with also how our Catholic faith brought me to that decision and really walked me through it. And in the end, how I started to teach her without any language, because she came to us at 4 but had no language, no one had taught her sign language yet, how I taught her the faith using our sacramentals. So that's kind of how it all kind of came together. It's just so beautiful. God is amazing.
It is such an incredible story. And how did you go about learning how to communicate with faith in a way that made sense for both of you?
Yes, this is absolutely the Holy Spirit in action. First of all, in prayer, the Lord had told me before we even matched with her that she would be deaf. So my sons and I started taking American Sign Language 3 years before we even adopted her, which again, I felt like at that point, like if we got matched and she wasn't deaf, we had this beautiful language that we had learned. We were homeschooling. It was just something really wonderful to learn and to know. But I just knew this was going to be a way that I was going to also glorify God, to tell people in prayer, God revealed she would be deaf. He also revealed that she would be 3, and she was both. And it's just such a beautiful, for me, understanding like that's how God communicates to our hearts, that he talks to us directly through our hearts. And so knowing that, I used that when it came time to communicate with my daughter, teaching her sign language, of course, but also allowing the Holy Spirit, our guardian angels, to kind of help me communicate what I was trying to show, and really bringing in lots and lots of visuals, the stained glass images. She loves visuals of statues. She's always enthralled by statues and all the different medals and of the saints and prayer cards and all of these beautiful visuals, and really, really laying relying on and believing that her guardian angel and the Holy Spirit was teaching her infinitely more than I was. I was just making it present.
And you have updated Faith's journey on social media. I feel as if I know her, even though I have never
Good.
had the privilege of meeting her. She's such a beautiful girl. And where is she in life now?
So the Lord revealed that she would be what age she would be, and that she would be deaf, but he didn't reveal that she'd also have a cognitive disability. And so we are now navigating. She's 19 years old. We adopted her over 15 years ago. And so now we're kind of into this new place, but I know God is going to be there in it. Like, it's not, people like, do you feel like you got to bait and switch, like that you expected to have this one disability? And I said, you know what? It's her ability. It's she is capable of so much more than she's not capable of. And I don't look at it like the Lord misled me into adopting this child, and now I have to deal with all of these issues. God trusted me with this beautiful soul, and I trust him to give me everything I need to give her the best life, to give her whatever she needs. And so I don't look at it as a burden, or that I didn't know what I was getting into. I was getting into being a mom, and you never have any assurances in being a parent. Anything can happen, and they come with a multitude of things that you have to figure out along the way. So we're navigating guardianship for her now. We're navigating what her life will look when she finishes school. Luckily, we're blessed in Massachusetts. I mean, this might even be countrywide, that she stays in school until she's 22. She loves her school. And, we'll just figure out what's next after that. Regardless of what that's going to be, I trust God implicitly, because he's God and I'm not. to help us. But she's just the happiest, sweetest. And if you follow my Reconcile to You on Instagram, you too can learn more about this beautiful child who just makes me a better person.
Oh, that's tremendous. And what advice would you have for somebody who is considering adoption?
I would say pray, trust, talk to other adoptive parents. Like that was part of my journey that God kept bringing. Like I kept wondering if God was calling me to this. And in fact, at one point, I remember being in mass with my two little boys. At the time, they're about 6 and 9. And they are the 6-year-old is kind of crawling around my feet and trying to fight with his brother, and they're all over the pew, and I'm trying to pay attention in mass. And I remember looking up to the heavens, being like, Lord, are you sure this is such a great idea for me to bring home another one? Like, are you sure you want me to adopt? And Maria, it was incredible. It's just at that moment that I'm saying, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? The deacon is reading the prayers of the faithful. And at that very, very second, he says, the prayer intention was, may all the orphans of the world find good homes. I get goosebumps sharing this now, even 16 years later. It was my assurance in prayer, like, Lord, I need to know for sure this is what you want me to do. And he didn't let me doubt for a second. He made it very, very clear. And then after that, brought people into my life, one after the other, to talk about different aspects of adoption. Somebody that helped me figure out the finance of it. I remember at one point saying, Lord, you've seen my bank account. How are you going to make this happen? And he's like, God of providence, trust me. And we had everything we needed. In fact, one time we had to make a payment and we were left over for like $70 or something from our tax return. And we went out to celebrate with Chinese food because that seemed like the best thing to do since we were waiting for a child from China, which we now call faith food. But just knowing that, you know, any questions I had, meeting other people who had parent children who were deaf, other people who had just disabilities, and even any questions. I remember meeting somebody who had cochlear implants as we're trying to decide, is this what we should do or not? And having this young man just really help us work through the whole decision making. And, you know, God is just abundantly good and generous. And I think it really requires us in any decision we make in our lives to be open to him guiding us and trusting that he hears our prayers. He wants to help us make the right decision. And that, yet you can still be nervous and still be doing the will of God.
Absolutely. Allison, to what extent do you think writing can change and improve our culture?
Oh my goodness, that's such a beautiful question, Maria. Coming from probably one of the greatest writers that I know, you're just in as a side, not that your listeners need to know this, but you're just such an incredibly gifted storyteller and so quick. I was just telling someone the other day that I asked you for an article, and I think I had it before I even closed the email. Anyway, it's just you just do it so beautifully. I think it's a way for us to communicate well thought out ideas. Like I can talk right now, and I know if like I'm not gonna listen back to this, but if I did, because I would just pull it apart. But if I did, I'd be like, oh, why didn't I say it this way? Or that wasn't a complete thought, or oh my gosh, that came out so wrong. But what I love about writing is it gives us an opportunity to prayerfully go back to what we've said and make sure we're communicating the message that, you know, either God's put in our hearts or we feel really drawn to talk about in a very clear and concise way, and hope that it's read without the confusion that often happens with media communication or even our social media communication.
And you use that gift of writing so well to bring people hope, I believe, because that's what's sorely lacking sometimes in our culture. And this has been proclaimed a year of hope. So it's very appropriate that you can instill in us that hope.
And what I love about this year of hope is in the Bull of Indiction, Pope Francis talks about how we are to rediscover hope through St. Paul's writings. And I love the scriptures. I write about the scriptures all the time. It, to me, that's God's love language to us. Like, you can't find more hope than in the word of God. And so I was really excited to see that not only did Pope Francis tell us to look at the scriptures, but he gives us kind of an assignment, like go to St. Paul's scriptures specifically on hope. And I've been diving into that myself, really regaining even more hope.
Remarkable. Now, what advice would you have for a young person considering writing as a career or a hobby?
Well, be more considerate of it being a hobby.
Right.
We can all, especially if you're going to become a Catholic author, we can tell you that you're not going to be making the money that Stephen King rakes in, or any of those names that you're used to seeing on the New York bestseller list. I always tell people I went to writing into Catholic ministry for the quote unquote retirement benefits of heaven. That's what we definitely make more of our benefits that come from. But if you want to have, if you've, God's put a message on your heart that you want to share, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, I really say go for it, because God's going to either bless it or block it. Like, if you feel this desire, again, going back to what I said earlier about the Psalms, right, that God just likes to give you the desires of your heart for those who delight in Him, right? So if we go to Him and say, I really feel this desire to write, if this is from you, just open the doors that need to be opened and enjoy the ride in the meantime. Like, enjoy your writing. Know it's primarily always going to be just for you, but if it's God's will, then He will make a way for you to write. Like, I know I live in this very tiny town in south and northeastern the northeastern corner of our world. The fact that the Lord has opened so many doors that I can have books published with our Sunday Visitor and Ave Maria Press and Marian just Press just blows my mind. But this is what God can do, right? This is what grace can do. So do what you love, do it well, hone your craft, and let God open doors. And if He doesn't open the door, know that He's still going to bring some incredible good from it.
Excellent advice. You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. We are speaking today with author Alison Gingras. Alison, what do you hope readers come away with from your writing?
Oh, I hope they come away with an encounter with Christ that makes them want to know Christ more. One of my favorite scripture verses is John 4. It is the woman at the well. It's the encounter that she has with Jesus that inspires her to go forward and tell other people about Jesus and who He is, who He was to her, and who He's, what He's offering. But my favorite line of that is the very last, at the very end of this encounter with we read that the people come back and say to her that they believe not because of what she said, but because they have seen it for themselves. And that, Maria, is what I hope that people take from my writing, that they see this authentic, genuine encounter with Christ, and they want to go figure out who He is on their own. And then they could come back to say, Allison, we believe not because of what you wrote, but even though it was fantastic, just kidding. Not because of what you said, but because what we encountered ourselves and experienced with Christ. That's what I hope people take away.
So, Allison, what is CatholicMom.com and why is it such a phenomenon?
Well, CatholicMom.com was started over 20 years ago by the, what I'll call, definitely the Catholic OG, Lisa Hendy. Lisa was looking for a way to find support herself as a young mom and as trying to catechize her children. And so she created this website. It started with Sunday gospel activities, which we still do to this day. In fact, we just updated them and they're beautiful Sunday gospel activities that you can use with your family or in your parish. But she also wanted to help give encouragement in every phase of motherhood and every phase of your spirituality. Like, we have nuns that write for us who are great spiritual mothers, and some of our listeners are not read, we have podcasts as well. Our readers are not biological or physical mothers, but each and every one of us, by our womanhood, as John Paul II tells us, are mothers. And so we have articles about being a spiritual mother, about being a mother of littles, as the kind of the term goes now, as being an empty nester, as being a grandmother, that sandwich generation, like every aspect of motherhood, CatholicMom.com deals with. And we absolutely love to encourage women in their vocation of motherhood.
And I don't know if people know how vast the network of Catholic Mom is. I mean, we're talking dozens and dozens of contributors.
140 at right
Oh
now,
my gosh.
100, and from all over the world, we have
Yes.
contributors from Australia and Brazil, and it's just phenomenal that these moments of motherhood that we all deal with are just so universal, and we are very blessed to have these people give their time and their talents to share with our audience. And right now, again, we're about 140 or so contributors.
And I think that what you find at CatholicMom.com is community. And often that's really important to moms, especially when they're in that stage of life when they may be separated from extended family. They may be on their own trying to care for their children. And to have that mentor mom relationship with all these mothers who are contributors. That's spectacular.
It is, and it's such a blessing because honestly, you'll find somebody on there that's writing about any aspect of motherhood that you could totally, truly relate to. And we're trying to build ways to be even to support in a more community way. We do a quarterly newsletter that we do live on YouTube and on Facebook. And we're trying right now to develop different ways to bring in community. We hope someday to have a retreat for Catholic moms, where or a conference or some kind of family conference. So we're always trying to think of some way to bring people together. So, but we're always there for an email, for a prayer. We're part of the Holy Cross Family Ministries family. We were acquired by Holy Cross Family Ministries, which is also Family Rosary, the family that prays together, stays together, which is my primary role. I'm the director of digital evangelization for Family Rosary and now for Catholic Mom. And we were acquired about, I think, maybe 8 years ago. And it just being part of this larger organization is really starting to give us more. And Father Fred, who's the president of Holy Cross Family Ministries, absolutely loves Catholic Mom. It's one of his. He's always telling us, you have my full support and I love what you do. So hopefully we'll be even able to find ways to support mothers even more. Oh, I was going to say, and we have prayer, so you can send us your prayer requests. We have Mass and Rosary every day, weekday at the Father Peyton Center where the headquarters is, and we will add your prayer attentions to the Rosary or the Mass or both, whatever it is you need.
Oh, that's remarkable. Now, Allison, as a writer, I'm sure you're also a reader. So, what do you like to read?
Well, this is not going to come into any surprise to anybody. I like to read Catholic nonfiction. I read a lot of fiction as an English major, and I do love still diving into a nice Jane Austen or Jane Austen book or Charlotte Bronte. But for the most part, I really just love continuing to learn about my faith. And there are so many incredible Catholic nonfiction books out there. I've really, that's what's my favorite thing to read. And I love to read Maria Gallagher. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this author. One of my favorites.
So we've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm wondering, where can people learn more about you and your writing?
My website is reconciled to you. I took it from 2 Corinthians 5:20, to be reconciled to God, to be an ambassador for Christ is what I really wanted to be. So reconciled to you is my social handle on all social media platforms. Also invite you over to familyrosary.org, catholicmom.com to learn more about your faith, to find support, and to just be my friend. I like friends.
And Allison, you're such an expert in the digital realm. And can you give some quick advice to people about how to manage the whole digital world. You know, some people get so frustrated, they get burned out. They don't know whether they should be on Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Substack. They have no clue. So what's your advice?
I'm going to use a fancy word here. Curate your news feed. Don't get stuck in the rabbit holes. Don't get people say I don't go on social media because all I see is XYZ. You can curate or organize your social media to see just what you want to see. And I really highly recommend that. Go to the places and follow the people who are encouraging to you that help you to grow closer to Christ and keep you from the temptations of sin. So curate your news feeds and follow the people who encourage you and bring light and love yourself onto social media. I love to ask people if I can pray for them when I go to adoration. I try to share scripture verses or quotes that really inspire me and be the what I want to see on social media. I try to be that.
Yeah, and you are. You're a rock star on social
Thank you.
media, and so uplifting and so encouraging. And that's what we need more of in this world. And that's what you're doing.
Thank you. That's very kind.
So, what are your final thoughts on this February day? How can people connect more with the whole idea of writing for culture.
Well, I think in this month of love, I think if we come at everything with just a heart of love, if we think of the other person, maybe somebody that we're struggling against, is they are also loved by God. And how can you bring love into the struggle? How can you bring love into the culture? How can you be love in the world? The adoption was a way for me to love even deeper, even though it was petrifying. So whatever scares you, know that God is love and let Him bring that love, help you bring that love into the world.
Beautiful. Allison Gingras, thank you for being on Lifelines Radio today.
Thank you, Maria, for having me.
And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.